Moss. We tend not to think much about moss, at least not in the same way we think of oak trees or orchids. Mosses don't call out to be noticed. They're small enough to fall beneath the radar of our observation, subtle enough in form for us to pay them no attention. And yet, they bolster the character of every woodland here, literally carpeting the ground in soft greens, engulfing boulders and tree trunks, cushioning the existence of every woodland being in innumerable ways. Clumps of moss are perfect incubation beds for the seedlings of other plants, snug nursery pods for germinating tree seedlings. There are around 800 different species of moss growing in Ireland. Like plants, each species has a specific ecological niche, existing where the combination of light and shade, moisture, shelter, and substrate chemistry is just right for that particular species to thrive. There are mosses that grow in open fields or mountain pasture, and others who live by the water's edge in boulder-strewn streams. On old stone walls, thick mats of soft moss provide a rich microhabitat for a multitude of tiny creatures. There are mosses that grow around the trunks and branches of trees, each with their own arboreal niche. Mosses weave their way quietly through almost every type of terrestrial habitat we have in Ireland. For mosses need a moist environment. And most of Ireland is a moist environment. Peat bogs in particular are made up almost entirely of sphagnum mosses. Some of the sphagnum species live in bog pools, lining the water in bright lime green. Others are orange and red and make up the hummocks of the peat bog. While each species of sphagnum has its own specific niche, the wider sphagnum family are all adapted to thrive in the acidic wetness that they themselves help to sustain. Better known as peat moss, sphagnum mosses have the ability to absorb 20 times their weight in water. Moss has no roots with which to suck up water or nutrients from beneath. Instead, it must absorb the moisture and nutrients it needs from the air through its tiny little leaves. For the bulk of its sustenance, moss, like all green plants, uses chlorophyll to synthesize its own food. The little green pigment works a wonderful alchemy, actively absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere and using photons harvested from sunlight to extract the carbon molecules. The unneeded oxygen is freed from its carbon bond and released back out into the atmosphere. In the case of peat bogs, this process is capable of continually absorbing enormous quantities of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. A healthy peat bog in its natural state, made of mostly soggy sphagnum moss, is actively drawing tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, locking it away for eons in the build-up of soggy peat. Peatlands, made up of moss, store twice as much carbon as all our standing forests. While photosynthesis is a process shared by mosses and other green plants, mosses are different to other green plants in that they don't have flowers. They don't produce seeds to carry their genes through the generations. Instead, they produce spore capsules, tiny pods containing microscopic spores. Each spore is just a few thousandth of a millimeter in size, yet contains all the genetic coding needed to grow a new plant. Look closely at a moss, and you might see the spore-bearing capsules sitting atop a tall, upright stalk. These capsules are disarmingly endearing little structures, lingering above the colony of soft green leafiness. In many species of moss, some clever engineering allows a build-up of compressed air within the spore capsule, so that when the spores are ripe, the compressed air explodes, propelling the minuscule spores and the entirety of their genetic code far from the parent plant. Many years ago, I was doing a college dissertation about the ecology of woodlands. Once I got immersed in the survey, I realised I'd have to learn to distinguish one type of moss from another. With dozens of species of moss growing in my study area, I was daunted. I collected up and bagged little specimens from the forest floor, brought them back to the lab, and examined each under a microscope. What I saw then was totally unexpected. Symmetrical shapes and geometric patterns. Perfectly angled leaves spiralling around a stem. Branching fern-like forms. Perfect leafy intricacies with mathematically precise arrangements repeated over and over. These little green things that previously I had never really looked at were enchantingly beautiful. I soon became familiar with each species, and with only about 20 in my study area, telling them apart was not difficult. Rhytidiodelphus squarosus, Tuidium tamariscum, Polytrichum commune, Dicranium scaparium. Each species quite distinct, each name enticingly elaborate. The German biologist and artist Ernst Haeckel famously bridged the gap between science and art with precise and illuminating portraits of nature's artful patterns. Haeckel drew wonderful illustrations of mosses and their spore capsules, revealing the many different forms of mosses and their precisely engineered pods. Mosses might be small, but their role in our ecosystems is enormous. Their unassuming symmetry is enchanting. An unexplored microcosmos right beneath our feet.